KJVI, Mix 105.7, and its continued commitment to bring programming for our community, KJVI brings you our Community Affairs Program, highlighting our communities, its resources, and information the city's KJVI Mix 105.7 covers.
Thank you for joining us on KJVI's Community Matters, where we look at the issues that matter to our community and the people and organizations that are making a difference. I'm very happy to welcome today, with answers to so many of our questions about school reopening, the superintendent for Robert Lee Independent School District. He's been there 15 years now as superintendent, Aaron Hood. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, we were very fortunate to be at your beautiful socially distanced graduation ceremony a few months ago. And I can't believe already the school season begins on the 17th. And we're still dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic that we really thought would be gone by now. And if anything, it's actually worse. Now, Robert Lee hasn't been hit quite as bad as some of the other communities in the area. I believe you have in Coke County 35 confirmed cases. But for a small town, that's still quite a lot. So first of all, tell me about what it was like having to transition to online learning when the schools shut down earlier in the year.
Well, it was very difficult to digest. The process wasn't necessarily as difficult as we thought it might be, but just the unknowns of having to go to that. When we left for spring break, we did not know much about COVID-19, and it all hit us while we were gone. So for our district, kids, all their stuff was still in the building. Their lockers were still full. The devices that we had, they weren't checked out to kids to take home. Mm. So in a week's time, we had to scramble just to get all that out. But our staff responded to it. They did a good job, and we rolled it out and was able to finish the school year. I think the problem that for the startup for what we've had is just the unknowns and how things change. Sometimes daily. Even the guidance from CDC changes daily, and that's hard for schools and superintendents to digest.
Definitely. I mean, what about the learning process on your end and on the students' end in dealing with the changes, getting used to learning online?
Well, I think anybody that isn't a teenager or younger that struggles a little bit with technology. But just what technology can do and how it can bring people together. We were having meetings with over 1,000 superintendents statewide at one time. And so I think just the fact that we have to embrace technology now and learn to implement it is going to help us and help our kids, especially that's how kids learn now. Kids are not having a trouble with the technology. It's the adults that are having the most problems.
And the parents, I imagine for them, it's an adjustment too, having the kids at home all the time and them asking more questions than they might ordinarily. What kind of feedback did you get from parents toward the end of last year?
I think at the end of last year, as far as Robert Lee goes, they were hoping it would go away and we could start school back normal.
Yeah.
And the kids can get back to school. A lot of parents were working at home, and when they were working at home, they were doing the same thing we were doing. They were having to get on the computer and have their meetings virtually. And that becomes impossible for a parent to have to try to help their kid while they're trying to work at the same time. And then trying to keep a kid in the chair, especially if you're talking about elementary age kids that you have to kind of keep your thumb on and keep them focused. So it was very difficult. And I think the parents kind of could see what teachers deal with on a daily basis.
Okay.
So I think they have a more of a respect for the teaching profession than what they had before.
Well, that's a very good thing to hear. Not the way that I would have wanted it to happen, but still, teachers deserve so much more respect and so much higher salaries. I always want to take, like, the professional sports players and just take a chunk of theirs, a small chunk, and we could give teachers so much more. But that's in my ideal world. Back in the real world.
I think the part of the problem that a lot of parents don't understand, and it's not just parents, it's anybody, even myself, we get in our own bubble and sometimes we don't see outside that bubble. And what was happening was for our teachers, and this was realistic, and it probably going to be the same this year as we start school. The online portion of it was causing teachers to work almost 12-hour days because there were several parents that couldn't help their kids until they got home after their job because they were essential workers. So when they had questions, they had to call, text, video chat with our teachers 7, 8 o'clock at night. So they would start in the morning for those that wanted to, but they pretty much went all day with trying to help kids and get them logged on or even get their work in or answer questions that parents might have. So I think the frustration level was high on all ends, from parents to school employees to teachers to even state legislatures and even the governor. I think the frustration level was high just because of what everyone was trying to juggle.
Right.
So it was difficult.
And I don't imagine it's all that much easier now. We still have confusing guidelines. We know more about COVID-19. We also know that it's become more contagious because of a mutation, although not necessarily causing more severe symptoms, but just that more people are getting it and faster. So my understanding is there has been discussion about offering both in-school and online learning. What kind of feedback have you gotten about both of those options?
Well, we put out a survey like most districts did to get some parent input about would they like to see a remote option or face-to-face. And so we're running at about 10% right now of people that's choosing the remote option in our district. And they're not necessarily for sure what they want, but they're letting us know that that could be a possibility so that we can make plans.
Okay, so that's really a high number that are very much in favor of having the children in brick-and-mortar schools.
The majority are wanting them back face-to-face, but at the same time, they do have a lot of questions and concerns on what kind of safety protocols we're going to put into place to help the return to school be positive and safe for their kids. So the more information we put out there, the more questions that we get.
Right.
And then CDC updates or the state updates or TEA updates their guidelines. And then we have to go back and change some things. And then that brings even more questions from parents about why things were changed. So it's just a process right now that we're trying to get out there and get some information out. And then we're trying to break it down to where we will have a meeting virtually probably, or possibly small meetings face to face, where they can ask any question they want to and it'd be answered for them, and to make them feel better about whether they choose to bring them to school or to do the remote option.
Okay, well, now we're just about 2 weeks away from the start of school on August 17th. Has there been any kind of mandate from the governor or the Texas Education Association about what you should be doing, or is it up to each independent district?
No, there's public health guidelines that are on the TEA website, and they refer to a lot of the CDC guidance in their documents. And then there is some local control on some options, like masks for kids at school and things like that. It's going to be up to what your count is in your county and of active cases, and then of what you also feel comfortable with. And so depending on where your school district is located, is going to be dependent upon what you put in your plan to start back.
Okay. Now, you have a very extensive, really well-thought-out plan, 17 pages worth of it, but it's so detailed and so comprehensive. Is it the same plan for elementary, junior, and senior high?
We do. We're a K-12 district where we are all in the same building. So if a kid in first grade comes down with the coronavirus, it's going to affect our seniors.
Wow.
Because we are in the same building. So, you know, in other plans that you see from other schools, you might see about campus closures. We're unable to do that because we're just one single campus. So if we have a campus closure, then we have a school closure at the same time.
Okay.
So that makes us different from other schools where, like, for instance, St. Angel ISD has multiple campuses, and if something happens on an elementary campus, they don't have to shut down their high school campus.
Right.
So small rural schools are unique in their plans and how they address it. But at the same time, we are able to visually see, question, and even take temperatures of everybody entering our building every day.
Wow.
Where like San Angelo Central might not have the capabilities of doing that.
And now if, say, one child were to get sick and then that affects the entire school, the same thing for the teachers. They actually have to be prepared for both online learning and in-face learning just in case they have to send children back to the home for learning.
That is correct. That is one drawback about being a small school district is, you know, we have one kindergarten teacher, one first grade teacher, one second grade teacher. So we can't look at our numbers and then pick a teacher to be the online teacher because we just have one per grade level. So we have got to come up with a plan to where the ones that choose remote, we can serve at home. And the ones that are here, we can serve here, and we can have that same teacher doing that. So we have a lot of discussions right now and ideas being put around on how that's going to look. And we haven't really finalized what we're going to do just yet, even though we're pretty close.
Well, let's start with your stage four, where you're in prevention and going with the idea that you're going to have classes in school. Students will come to school. What is the plan to prevent any kind of spread or contagion with COVID-19?
Okay, so we will screen at the door daily anybody that's coming into the school, which will be temperature checks and questions. We have already purchased hand sanitizer stations for every classroom. And then for our elementary, they also have sinks in every classroom so they can wash their hands. And anytime we can wash our hands, we're going to wash our hands instead of using hand sanitizer. For elementary age kids that are 10 and up, it just depends on what our cases are in our county at the time we open, whether masks are going to have to be worn or not. And so we're going to be looking for a little guidance. TEA suggests that we do wear masks if you can't maintain 6-foot social distancing. And so masks are probably going to be something that's considered for us. But, you know, a typical day for a junior high kid would be anytime they're in period exchanges or they're in common areas, they're going to have a mask on. As they enter a room, they're going to use hand sanitizer, sit at their desk. They'll listen to the instruction from the teacher. When the class is fixing to be over, they're going to get the wipe to wipe off their desk and then go use hand sanitizer and go to their next class.
You make it sound so simple. It's really so well organized. And at the same time, I think, wow, who would have ever thought that you'd have to go through this and kids would have to go through this just to get through a day of school?
I agree. You know, the bad thing was is in May, we were seeing some other countries that were still in school that were using that, and we were hoping we would never get to that point. And the reality is that we are to that point.
Yeah.
And there are thresholds set by the governor through his executive order and even local health departments that can set some thresholds that would require us to do things that we may not necessarily want to do. For instance, like wearing masks all day. We've also purchased face shields. If there's a parent out there that does not want their kid to wear a mask, we have a face shield that they can wear that would help with the breathing if they have breathing problems or asthma. So we've already purchased those to where every student in the school would have a face shield that would be theirs. We're also taking precautions in athletics according to what the UIL has posted and what we have to do. And then we've gone above and beyond to where we have foggers for the dressing room and the weight rooms every day. At the end of the day, we're going to put those off even after they're cleaned. We're going to put those off just to make sure that everything is killed in the dressing room.
That's fantastic. How are you going to handle meals, breakfast, lunches?
Well, what we're doing for this year, and it's new to us this year, is we've actually qualified what's called for community provision. And so we're fixing to put the application in. And so every one of our students will actually eat for free next year, regardless of income. And so that's going to be a change and a new thing, but it's a positive for our community. But then if the remote, the students that chose remote, their parents will be able to come pick up their meals. We'll have curbside service. All summer, we served meals through the summer for our students here in town. So we're going to continue that curbside service during specified times. And then, of course, the ones that stay will eat in the cafeteria with social distancing measures put into place.
Okay. And the cafeteria staff making sure that everything is sanitized and they're wearing gloves and...
Oh, yes. We've put in a plan to where the people that are actually serving the meals, they don't actually leave the kitchen area to come out. They're going to stay in that area. And so maintenance staff will work on cleaning the eating area every day so that there is no exposure to any of those ladies that are in the kitchen on a daily basis.
Okay. Now, what's the plan for transportation? On the one hand, you've got school buses, and then you also have students who are dropped off or picked up by parents. How will you arrange that to make sure sure that there's all the social distancing. You know, you get a group of kids together and it's really hard to make them stay apart from each other.
Well, I think, Art, for the parent pickup, we've always been very good at doing it in an orderly fashion where the teachers go out to the curb with the kids daily and put them in the cars and help them get in the cars. So I think we're okay there, even on normal year, but we just have to make sure they stay 6 foot apart when they're doing that. As far as the buses go, we're actually looking at making sure that everyone that rides the bus has a valid reason to ride the bus, and we're asking parents that can bring them to school to bring them this year to help us out with numbers there so we can try to do as much social distance on the buses as possible. Of course, if you're brother and sister, you can sit in the same seat. It's not an issue, but if we can spread out our buses, we've even considered looking at one more possible route to add here at Robert Lee to make sure we have less kids on a bus.
And now, as far as the classroom layout, how are you going to manage desks and finding enough space in a room to keep the children far enough apart?
That's going to be difficult because of the size of our rooms, and even here we have a school that was built in 2010, so it's relatively new, and our classrooms are bigger than most, and we're still going to have an issue with classes that are above 22 to get them 6 foot apart. So we've got a schematic. We're going to let teachers come up with ideas also. It might be, you know, teacher desk in the middle and student desk around the outside. They have all kinds of ideas. We're not mandating any type of arrangement in a room. We're just saying we need to keep them spread apart as we can. We've even looked at some dividers in some rooms that we know we can't have social distancing, but masks and face shields will be what we have to use if we can't maintain the proper distancing.
What about the extracurricular activities? Are they going to be able to go forward with clubs and sports?
Right now, we're planning to start football on Monday.
Okay.
And that's when the 1As through 4As are allowed to start. Of course, we're using all the measures that UIL has put into place and recommendations from TEA to make sure that runs smoothly. But we do plan on, if they have it, then we do plan on participating in it right now. But the only thing that we're still left in discussion in our plan is if we allow people or students that choose remote learning, whether we're going to allow them to participate in extracurricular activities. And that's the decision that the school board is going to have to make on whether we do or whether we don't.
Okay. Again, we're speaking with Aaron Hood, superintendent of the Robert Lee ISD. School starts August 17th, whether it's going to be in class or at home, yet to be determined. As of right now, it's looking like in class is going to be a go. So we've gone over all of these options for prevention. So, you know, let's say you get into school, you've got 99% of the students are learning in class and they've worked out all the social distancing, and God forbid somebody gets coronavirus, you know, with some 300 students plus teachers and other employees. It can happen. We don't want it to. What happens then?
Well, I think it just depends on the case that has coronavirus. For instance, they say our pre-K, they don't get out of their room as much as other classes. And so if it's in there, then junior high and high school could probably function as normal, but we have to address the area around that pre-K room and the teachers and who went in there and things like that. So, but there's always a possibility if TA has put out a definition of close contact and you have to follow those definitions and follow the protocols, and we could just have to shut down that day for cleaning, and we could shut down for 3 to 5 days for cleaning. But anytime there's a case in the classroom, the parent is going to have the option. If they want to hold their kid out for 14 days and go to remote instruction, they will be able and be allowed to do that. So it's just going to be case-by-case basis once we learned about that. If they have coronavirus and they've had it for 6 or 7 days and we didn't know it, then we can shut down and clean, but there's really nothing that we can do. You know, we can take all the precautions we can inside our walls, but the reality is that at 3:45 every day, those kids are going to go home. Mm-hmm. And so what they do at home is going to be a big deal as far as returning for the next day.
And not only what they do at home, but what the other people who live in their home are doing outside of the home. So it's very complicated. And, you know, the tentacles reach far and wide. It's just going to require a lot of paying attention. And for teachers in particular, I'm sure, a lot of advanced preparation and being ready to make a change on a moment's notice, going from in-class to online.
They're going to have to be prepared. At the end of the year last year, we told them that they're going to have to make sure we have options, because we wanted to have three options. We wanted to have option one was if we were not allowed to return to school and we had to be all 100% online, we need to have a plan for that. The second plan was if everybody gets to come back to school, we still need to implement the technology. We still need to use the technology on a daily basis. That way, if we do shut down, the kids already know how to log in. They already know how to get onto their classroom and their teacher pages, and they know where the assignments are going to be. And then three would be, just like we're starting now, would be you can choose to stay home if you want to, or you can come face-to-face if you want to, and it's going to be a parent choice. So we had to have those three plans into place, but then we also had to juggle how things changed over the summer according to what the virus was doing, what the TEA guidelines were doing, what the UIL guidelines are doing, and then, of course, the governor's executive orders. So juggling all that together made it pretty difficult. And it gives a lot of our teachers and administrators some anxiety on what's it going to look like. And the problem is nobody knows this, because for public schools, this is a first.
Right. And, you know, you talk about the anxiety, and I know it was challenging, certainly at first, for everyone to adapt to the changes and the reason for the changes. So now we know the kids pretty much are okay with using computers. They know how to work online. The parents have had a little bit of experience, although now with a lot of parents going back to work, they may have to face a situation where they have to come up with someone to watch the kids if for some reason the school has to close and they're still working. So that's another whole issue. But aside from the academic challenges of learning to learn a different way, what about the emotional challenges? You know, kids not seeing their friends, or if someone they know gets sick, how do they cope with that? Do you have people on hand who can help?
We do. We have two certified counselors that are on staff here to help with that. And, of course, we have a great service center over in San Angelo, Region 15, that would help us out if we needed more help. We also have programs that we put into place on how to deal with some of this emotional and social emotional learning. So we have been on that even before COVID-19. The social emotional aspect of education has come to the forefront, and so any school in the United States should have been talking about how to deal with social and emotional problems. But with COVID coming in and not being able to see your friends and things like that, I think that because we started summer, I think a lot of the kids, especially here, have been able to see their friends and have been able to talk to their friends. And I think that's part of the problem in the whole state is for June and July, we kind of went business as usual with just little limitations. And then now we see a spike in cases. So we're just going to have to take that into consideration, but technology does help with that. Maybe not seeing them face to face, but being able to talk to them via computer, via their phone, I think that that helps out a lot with younger kids and teenagers.
Yeah, and it helps out with the adults too. I mean, my family has started having Zoom meetings on weekends because we're all over the place. And it's really, you know, a comfort to be able to see people face to face, even though you know they're somewhere else, and especially for the kids.
And I think what our community, I hope they understand, and when we get communicated, that's why the school is here, is to serve our community, and that's why we're giving them a choice on remote versus face-to-face. There's real fears out there with this coronavirus, and if you really have that much anxiety and you need to stay home, we're going to provide an education for you if that's your choice. Oh, and as a parent, that's your right for this year, and you can do that, and we're going to do the best we can to help that child. But the ones that are coming to school, we're going to do the best we can to make sure they have the best education possible, because we do have some gaps that we have to go back from last year and make up.
Right. Well, I tell you, you fill me with confidence. I mean, if I were a parent with a student in your school, I would have no concerns that you are completely in charge of whatever circumstance might come up. You've already thought about it, and you're ready to meet whatever challenges we may face. Is there a website, or do you have a phone number where a parent can get answers to those questions? I know you mentioned that you'd be having some sort of meeting in the next week or two.
Yes, our website is www.rlisd.net, and that's where you can see the plan, view the plan, and then in that plan, you're allowed to type in questions that you might have. We're working on putting a document together that answers the questions that are to kind of an FAQ to that, to, that we can post on the website. The phone number for the school is 325-453-4555, and they can call anytime and talk to either one of the principals or myself, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that they might have, or even email that can be found on our website. But we are going to either have virtual town halls or small meeting groups to where we can answer questions that they have specifically, and they can hear it from me, you know. And unfortunately, the answer to a lot of the questions might be, we don't know yet.
Right.
And because it's hard for us to put something out there and hit a target that's moving. And right now, that's the problem. CDC came out with new guidelines, which updated the state guidelines and then hence updated the school guidelines. And so something that a parent might have read 2 days ago, it may not be accurate today.
Right.
So they just have to understand we all have to be flexible through this process, and it's no different than how this started. They said masks didn't do any good, and now they're saying masks should be worn. And everybody, even health officials, are figuring this out as we go.
Right.
And this is kind of a new thing for everybody.
Oh, completely new. Absolutely. I mean, they've made great progress in a short period of time, but it's been a very confusing period for everyone. The way I look at what you've put out in your 17-page guideline is you're pretty much prepared for any circumstance. Even though things are changing, you know, I feel like, well, if this happens, then this is what we'll do. And if this happens, then this is what we'll do. So for me, it seems that you've thought ahead and really worked on considering all of the different circumstances. So you're ready to go no matter what happens. Best possible scenario is they come up with a vaccine.
That's right. We're all hoping that. But
yeah.
I think where I have maybe a little advantage over some other people, I've been here for a long time, and so the community here at Robert Lee, they know how I feel and my beliefs, and they know that at least I hope they know that the safety of their kids are my number one concern, and I will not hesitate to cancel whatever I have to make sure that we stay safe. Whether it be a football game or whether it be a field trip, it doesn't really matter. And it even might be a week of school where we have to stay at home. But we have to understand the burdens of staying at home and what that does to parents or grandparents. And then we have to understand the questions and the fears of coming back face to face. And we have to coordinate that.
Yeah. This has been a huge expense for you with putting in sinks and hand sanitizer and masks and having thermometers for temperature taking every day and having the plans for whether you're going to go in class or online. How is the budget handling that? Where is the extra funding coming from?
Well, we did get a little extra funding from the federal government to take care of some of these things. But really, where we ended last year, and we were able to save some money as far as just travel, extracurricular travel, bus travel, diesel, gas. We were able to save a lot of that money. So it was just a matter of juggling the money that was in the budget and moving it around to cover the cost of some of these items. As far as technology, we had enough devices to be able to pass those out. And so we just had to think of it differently. We had to let them take them home instead of just using them when they're at school.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the planning. You know, you put priorities first. When we're doing budget for next year, we're going to make sure that we can cover whatever the cost we think might occur in the budget for safety reasons. And if that means we don't get things for football, basketball, track for this next year, then that's how it is, and that's what we have to do. Because we're always going to put the safety and then the instruction in front of whatever else that we are able to do here at the school. And so just knowing that, then we'll do that. We also did receive supplies from the state that the federal government helped give to schools, and so that helped out too on being able to cover some of those costs. But I think just the amount of cleaner that we're going to go through, because we're going to make sure that we're through, that's going to be an expense, and we've prepared for that. PPE is going to be a problem as schools try to purchase that. Where we were kind of on the forefront over the summer of ordering ours in, regardless of what someone else was going to send us, we just thought we might need to get it in just in case. And so we've been fortunate to have it here already. And then our city received some supplies, and the mayor was gracious to give the school some of those supplies to help us out too. So all in all, what this has done really for school districts, cities, counties, where we always used to have to work together, we truly had to communicate and work together to get through this process, and even other school districts. You know, we compete against them. We want to beat them in anything that we go compete in. But during this time, we were all on the same page, and whatever help anybody needed, it was given, and we all worked together to get through it. So that's what we're going to have to do this next school year. We're going to have to be willing to think outside the box, and we're going to have to be willing to ask for help if needed, and we're going to have to be willing to give help if needed.
That's, I mean, just knowing that there's that kind of community feeling toward each other is really comforting to hear. And I'm already rethinking school supply drives. You know, I know the students need paper and notebooks and those supplies, but also adding things to the list like sanitizer and toilet paper, you know, for the schools would make sense. Are you allowed to set up an Amazon wish list where people can make donations and have them sent to you?
Yes, I think so. I think we do that with some of our extracurriculars where people help out. I think for us here, we would appreciate any help that if anybody could. We appreciate anything given to us or donated to us. But for the most part, we've been able to get the supplies we need for right now. And so what we're asking our parents to do is make sure you take care of your household and what needs to be there first. And then we'll make sure we get it at the school for this coming year. And that way you don't have to worry about that.
Okay. And just one last thought. I've heard a lot of parents talk about how they're so worried that their kids are going to be behind. They're going to fall behind. And how are they going to, you know, keep up? And just to put it in perspective, I think it helps to realize that this is happening to every child across the country. So they're all in the same place, really. They're not really behind. They're behind what we used to consider what we had to reach. But if where we reach per year changes, and if school takes kids up to 19 instead of 18, it's all of them, not just a few. So they don't have to feel like they're being held back. They're right up there with their other students and the other families.
Yes, I agree. And but people also need to understand the resiliency of teachers and of kids. And, you know, high expectation and working, even though it's different, you can accomplish the goals that you want to accomplish. So where people might be concerned about a slide or about not reaching where they go, I say, let's don't get that attitude just yet. Let's give the teachers that we have in the state of Texas, and let's give the parents that we have in the state of Texas a shot, and even the kids. You know, if in your mind, if you think a kid can't do it, then the kid's not going to be able to do it. But I'm telling you, if you work with that kid and you get them there, they're going to be able to accomplish a lot.
They always say kids are what you tell them they are. And if you tell them they're smart and you tell them they can, they will, and they will accomplish. So I love the idea of starting things off on a positive and just thinking positively throughout all of the challenges that you may face, and everyone will come out stronger for having been through it and come out together.
That's
so
right.
I thank you so much. I'm inspired just listening to you talk, and I have no doubt your teachers reflect your attitude. I always say it starts at the top. and you are the top and you've got it all worked out and you are confident. Even with a little bit of not knowing, you figured out everything that there is to figure out at this point. And I feel that the parents and the students can feel very comfortable. And I encourage them to go to the website, rlisd.net, and read that 17 pages of preparation that you've put together. And if you have any questions, put them there so that you can address them. Again, rlisd.net. If you want to speak to someone directly, the number 325-453-4555. Any final words for the audience?
Just tell the parents and the kids and the community, we appreciate them working with us too. You know, we're a partner with them and we have to get through this just like everybody else. And I think we will. I think Robert Lee's always come out on the other side better with whatever we had to face. And I think we will with this too.
Way to go. All right. Aaron Hood, superintendent for the Robert Lee Independent School District. I thank you so much for your time. I know you're busy right now. 2 weeks until school starts, and parents of Robert Lee students, you know that you will be hearing from the schools. And again, any info is at rlisd.net. You have a wonderful day, and I wish you everything good for the school year.
Hey, thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to KJVI Community Affairs Program. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions for us, you can email them to listener@mix105-7.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Mix 105.7, or visit our website, Mix 105-7.com.